Would you take your Bibles, please, tonight and turn with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, I'm going to do something a little bit different tonight. I'm going to share with you some psalms having to do with the nighttime. George Mueller, many, many years ago, wrote this, "Trials are food for faith to feed on." Let me say that again. That is full of truth. Trials are food for faith to feed on. I think it's important to realize that trouble not only comes during the daytime, and we've seen enough of that, have we not? But it also comes at nighttime. As I've gotten older, I deal with issues of restless leg syndrome, and I have trouble with my feet. If I'm on my feet a lot during the day, it takes me sometimes hours to get my feet settled down. I have a little roller that I roll my feet on to get them stretched out to try to see, but I have difficulties in that regard. And the easy thing is to run in there and grab some pills and pop those, but that's not always what God intends. Sometimes God wants us to get alone with Him and to meditate on His Word. There have been many times that some of the thoughts that have come about ministry, something I ought to do, comes in the middle of the night. I had one of those recently. I had some difficulty going back to sleep after that, but I've had those moments over the years, I'm sure you've had as well, where just something that was a burden on your heart, the Lord delivers an answer in the middle of the night. And I thank the Lord for that. He does that for His children, if you want to know His answer. That's something that's very, very important. You know, it's easy to say, "I'm a Christian." Well, there are millions of those kind of people. "I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian." I read recently, It was in our local paper about this new, and I think I may have shared this already, but the new Sunday alcohol ordinance, which allows sales after noon here in Milton and around the county. And there was a man that was interviewed coming out of a local church, and he was all excited about it. He said, "There's nothing greater than leaving church and going and having a beer with my friends." Well, all I could think about was, what does he know about Christianity? He's got his own version already worked out. Where I can have the world and I can have Jesus too. You've got to want to know the truth. It's only the truth that will set you free. Now, what do I mean by being set free? Folks, this world is bondage. Sin is bondage. The filth of the flesh is bondage. The things that we are bombarded with from the culture is bondage. But praise be to God, the moment you were saved, you were delivered from bondage. And it's high time that we live that way. Amen? Don't live as if you're in bondage to the culture. Some people, bless their hearts, they can't wait for the latest thing to come down from the culture. What's wrong with you? All right, and I say that with a heart that's genuinely concerned. What's wrong with you? You know, we say that about somebody that's not feeling well. I had a little girl during my week of camp that was sitting all by herself over up in the bleachers. Whenever they're sitting all by themselves, I know something is up. So I walked over there and she said, "I don't feel very good. I'm kind of sick to my stomach." And I said, "Well, let's go over here near the trash can." All right? So I went and got her a little trash can. I don't know about you. I don't like cleaning up that kind of stuff. So I'm always conscious about that. I have a rule. Any children in my class that looks like they're going to get sick and they're going to throw up, they get a trash can beside their desk. And if it looks like we're moving to the next level, they're gone with the trash can down the hallway. All right. Now, I've had too many emergencies in the past. I've kind of gun-shy about that. My first year of teaching, I had a young lady that was in the dormitory, sat right in the front seat. And I walked over to the board and I came back around and I had my chalk in the hand, and I went over to ask a question. All of a sudden, rah, all over me. I was standing in front of the class. I had throw up all over me. And the next words that came out, the words of wisdom from young people. "Mr. Brainerd, I'm sick." I said, "Are you kidding me?" "Whatever gave you that idea? If you'll take the trash can, please, and if you'll head on down to the office." All right. So I had to go get the principal. I think it was Mr. Woods at that time. I don't remember who it was. And I said, "Do you mind if I go home and change?" And I think Mr. Woods said, "Please do." And I was covered from stem to stern. So I'm a little gun shy about that kind of stuff. All right? I don't know what in the world I'm doing on that subject right now. But it was pertinent to the message tonight. And I want to get into the versatility of the Psalms. We're going to take up several subjects in the weeks ahead where you can find comfort and strength in the Psalms. And I want to talk about nighttime, where you can get comfort and strength in the middle of the night. You know, there are things that are dreaded at night. A phone call in the middle of the night is never good. And even if it is a telemarketer, it's not good because they're going to get it. Okay? What in the world are you calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning? Now, I generally always answer the phone at night because I never know, it may be one of you calling, wanting to see the pastor. I've gotten those kind of phone calls at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning. Would you come? My father's passing away. And I've gone and I've been there for the family. I've had to go many, many times. I think about my grandmother who 11 years ago went to be with the Lord on August the 15th, coming up on 11 years. And I went to visit her earlier in the evening on the 15th. And then Mom called me, I forget what time it was, around 11 o'clock or 11:30 at night, and said, Granny has passed. Would you come down? So I went down there to be with my mom at that particular time. And those nighttime phone calls are difficult. But aren't you glad for the Word of God? The Word of God is your friend. It's your friend. If you're a child of God, you have a friend. And it's the comforting Word of God. I want to draw your attention to verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 42 because this came to my mind not too long ago. Now remember, please, that Old Testament saints did not have Aleve, Somnex, or Ambien. You understand that? Now, they did have, in ancient times, what was known as valerian, which was an herbal supplement. They had chamomile, which they made tea from, that was an herbal sleep aid. But nothing like these medications that are out there today. They didn't have that. What did they do in the middle of the night? Whenever you wake up and you can't go back to sleep, what did they do? Well, Christian believers had the Psalms. They can look to God's Word. Look at verse 7 of chapter 42. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness. By the way, a few times in the Psalms, loving kindness is actually translated loving kindness, but it's the word for mercy. Mercies in the plural. Hesed is the Hebrew word. And it says there, His loving kindness, His mercies, He will command His mercies in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd bless Your word as we take up this subject here of sleeplessness or pain in the night or difficulty or the weight of some burden that's on our hearts. I pray that we might love Thy Word and understand the versatility of the Psalms that are there to comfort us. I pray that You'd work in our hearts tonight and encourage us from Your Word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The word versatility is an interesting word in the English language, and it means the ability to adapt or be adapted to many different functions or activities. I have found over the years that the Psalms especially are versatile. There are so many of them that fit in so many different situations that arise. Psalm 55 comes to mind. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. That was a college verse that I memorized. I had to work most of my college nights starting at 11 o'clock. I rarely got back earlier than 2 o'clock in the morning. My job related to the stage crew at Bob Jones University, and so I was up a good portion of the night. Many nights at 2 o'clock when I got off my shift, I went to the kitchen area, back door, where they had a refrigerator and they had a little room set up for workers, for security and so forth. We were allowed to get some breakfast, so I got breakfast there, and then I'd head back to my dorm room, go to sleep, get right back up at 6:30 and head to symphonic band practice for the first hour of the day at 7:30. And that's what I did. I look back and I say, how in this world do you do that? I mean, 10 o'clock, I'm in, you know, I'm barely making around the house. The kids know better than to ask any questions after 10 o'clock, because all they're going to get is, and that's about the only answer I give. I'm worn out. But, back in college days, you know, when you're young, you got all kinds of energy and do those kind of things, but not anymore. And in college, there were many times that I would go up, and then after work, I'd get after work at 2 o'clock in the morning. I had tests the next day. I asked my supervisor, I said, do you mind if I study an hour or two up in the concert center? Up in the concert center, there was a room up in the loft area where they had a projection booth, and that's where they had the old arc welder style projection booth. It would get up to 100 degrees in there. No air conditioning. We'd have to show films. It was an arc welder, and it had two rods that met each other, and they burned at a certain rate, and they kept the arc right there, and that's what we did. If you were not careful, if you didn't have that film going through the machine, it cut it just like a laser. That happened a few times over the years. But in that room, at night, it was a nice place. I had a little desk in there, and that's where I studied many times when I got off from work, because I wasn't able to study like a lot of the young people. But I remember many, many times praying that verse, Psalm 55 and verse 22. Okay, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. In other words, knocked off the foundation. He'll keep you on his foundation. That was such a comfort, especially in times where I knew I had not studied enough. There was an Egyptian man that was in our prayer group at college that he was always down in the prayer room in the basement of the dormitory. I, on a number of occasions, went down and would see him in there, and he was always praying. And I spoke to him one time as we were both leaving out of the prayer room, and I said, I always see you in here. And he said, well, you have to understand, I don't know English very well. I have to pray that God would help me to read the tests so I can do well. He was in there praying, asking God to help him to be able to read in English the test he was about. And here I was, grew up with English, and I was going in there because I hadn't studied long enough. I felt rebuked in that regard. This man had come to America. He was part of the Timothy Fund students, which came over, and they spent all 4 years in America. They didn't get to go home. A student at that time, whose daughter died while he was here in the States, while he was going to school at Bob Jones and wasn't able to go home for his daughter's funeral. He had to stay because he had to work. You know, those are times when you get those kind of calls or you get those kind of events in your life that you better have something deeper than yourself. You better have something that's deeper than your family. Now let me just say this, please. If you just rest in your family, it will not be enough. It will not be enough. You need the precious Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Now I'm going to emphasize this because we live in days where, you know, it's just, well, I'm so glad I have my family around me. Well, that's wonderful to have family. But Christian, you better understand something. You need something much deeper than that. No matter how wonderful family is, it is no substitution for Christ. It is no substitution for His Word. And so you better, as you grow older, as we grow older, I've got white hair up here. I know what it means to grow older. Dealing with diabetes, I struggle with things from time to time, and I need the Lord. I need the Lord. And I've had to grow up. I've had to grow up. Instead of trusting in myself, I've got to get into His Word And I've got to let Him be my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God. These verses of Scripture here in Psalm 42 are so precious. Verse 7 says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts." Interesting there. Waterspouts could be translated waterfalls or the crashing of the waves. You ever been out on the ocean? Maybe you've gone deep sea fishing and a storm's come up. Been only a couple of times in my life where I've been out on the Gulf or been out in a situation where it was stormy. One time, my brother and I and Kent Woods went up the river and we were doing some skiing. This was back in the 80s and we went up the river. I just bought my boat and we were way up the river. Now, when a storm comes up, you don't pull up on the shoreline and get under a tree. That's not smart. Right? So we just said, you know what? We need to start heading back. That lightning is getting closer and closer. So I gunned it on the boat. And you know what happened? My motor on the back of the boat cracked the transom. And water started rushing in on the back of the boat. Now that's every boat owner's nightmare. All right? I didn't have a bucket for bailing. We did have a plastic bag. So we started scooping it up in a plastic bag and hurling it over, and we were down that river. It was popping lightning. It was pouring down. Kent took the helm and had a towel over his head that he put on top of the window. I was back in there. Roger was back in there. We were bailing and praying the whole time that we weren't going to be killed. I confessed every sin that I had committed in my lifetime. Some of them I'm sure I'd already asked the Lord to undertake for, but you know how it is in those kind of moments, all kinds of things start coming to mind. We made it into Carpenter's Park. I said, "Keep bailing," because I was afraid that it was going to go down right there. And when we come to a stop, you know, when you're going down the river, the water will naturally start flowing out to some degree. But when you stop, it's glug, glug, glug. And so I went and got my truck and I backed her up in there and we were cranking furiously. Got the boat out of the water. I mean, it was popping lightning everywhere. And all I could think about was, "Lord, if you'll just let us live, if you'll let us live, I will sell my boat. I will do whatever I need to do." You know, I know I must have committed some mortal sin for that. I was scared to death. You know, God sends you wake-up calls from time to time. But this verse of Scripture speaks about the roaring of the waves and the crashing of the waves. And the psalmist says he was during a time in his life where deep called unto deep, the crashing of the waves and the waterspouts, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Not only the sound, but the actual waves are crashing. Have you ever had those moments in life? And he says, you know, we have them during the daytime, but we also have them at night. And what was his comfort when the waves and the billows were going over him? Verse 8, "Yet the Lord," oh, how wonderful, "yet the Lord." What will He do? What will the Lord? It doesn't say here, "yet mom and dad." It doesn't say here, "yet my brother and my sister," or "yet my pastor will command his loving kindness in the daytime." No, it doesn't say that. Say it out loud, please. "Yet the Lord." How come we forget that? How is it that we forget that so easily? Well, we're so used to putting out fires on our own. But you know what? Sometimes God will allow a fire to come up that you can't put out. When I was a middle schooler, Dad worked for the Skyline Fire Department. He was a volunteer and used to take us up on Saturdays. We loved it. We thought it was the greatest thing in the world to get to sit on those fire engines. There was an old 1940. And it was an old fire truck. But Dad would go start it up inside the thing. We'd sit there and rev the motor. Boy, we thought that was so neat. And hit the siren, hear it go off. And then there was a big tanker truck that was in there. And it was an old one from World War II, I believe. And we'd start that thing up. Dad was making sure that the truck was running right, that they were all fueled up so that the next fire, we got to go with him a couple of times. There was a field fire nearby, and we went out too. And I remember watching my dad run from the truck. He said, "You stay in the pickup truck." Dad had taken us from the house out there, and some of the men had brought the fire trucks, but it was a field fire, and there was no way that they were going to be able to get water out there. So they grabbed these big rubber mats attached to handles to go out and put the fire. And I remember my dad running along there, popping the flames, and that thing just blowing up. It was frightening. It was frightening. Sometimes there'll be fires in your life that you can't put out yourself. What are you going to do? I know what I'll do at that moment. I'll call out to God. Why don't you call out to God when all the fires come up? Now, why not? Because we think, we've got this, Lord. We can handle this. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness, His mercy in the daytime. And in the night, His song shall be with me. You almost think about how a mom sings to her kids. Or a dad, too. We used to sing to our kids when they were little. I'd go in there. We'd sing Bible songs. We'd sing choruses. I taught them a lot of choruses at night while I was there in the bedroom with them. And we did some funny songs, too. We did some crazy type stuff. The Mole Weevil song. I used to sing it. I'd change the words up a little bit. When it got kind of boring, I'd put their names in the song, you know, or something like that. But, you know, it was comforting for kids. There were many, many times where whenever I said goodnight to them, I'd plant a kiss on their forehead, they'd roll over, and they were out just like that. There's something comforting about a song. How many of you have ever sung a hymn in the middle of the night? I've done that before. Wake up in the middle of the night. You don't sing too loud because you don't know what wake up your wife. You'll get in trouble then. But just a tune will come to mind. It's just a blessing. Kind of settles things down in a troubled soul. You know, the Lord, that's why you ought to fill your heart and mind with good music. Can I say that again? Fill your heart and mind with good music. Don't fill it up with the rock and roll and garbage of this world. It won't be what comes to mind in the troubled seasons of your life. I think about those dear saints down at the convalescent center. I just get a thrill. When I see those people, they can't see the music anymore, but it's right here. And they'll chime in and start singing. Some of them know all the verses of the songs because it was planted many, many years ago by a mother or a father or a church or a Sunday school teacher. It was planted down deep in the heart, and in the nighttime or even in the daytime, God puts that song in their heart and they're able to sing it. You better be careful what you put in your mind and your heart. You need to fill it with the Word of God. God wants to be able to deliver His mercy, but you got to want to receive it. I want to take you to another psalm. Psalm 4, please. It's actually Psalm 3. I want to start there, and then we'll get to Psalm 4 in just a moment. Here's another precious psalm. Actually, two, they go together, Psalm 3 and Psalm 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Oh, those are the naysayers. Those are the mockers that say, there's no help from God. You're not going to get any help from him. Verse 3, but Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Selah, that means meditate on that. Take that to heart. I laid me down and what? And slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Now, he begins with trouble, but he's still able to go to sleep. How is that possible? There were those that were mocking and said, you're not going to get any help from God. You've had serious things that have come into your life. Maybe it was a health issue, or maybe it was a financial issue that just seemed to overwhelm. What do? To whom do you go? You run to the bank, run to the doctor. Oh, I'm thankful for doctors. But you know, doctors sometimes get it wrong. They get it wrong. I don't know how many people that I've talked to over the years that have said, I was misdiagnosed. I was misdiagnosed. For a year and a half, they said I was a type 2 diabetic. And I struggled and I struggled and I struggled and I never could get my numbers down. And finally, I changed and went to an endocrinologist over there in Pensacola. And he looked at me. When he walked into the room, he looked at me and said, you're not a type 2 diabetic. I said, how do you know that? He said, I can look at you and tell you're a type 1. He said, you need to be on insulin. And so when I got on insulin, my numbers dove down where they were supposed to be. I started gaining some of my weight back. I have one of those types of diabetes that causes me to lose weight. And if I'm not careful, I can get down too low. But the Lord, in all of that, was leading and guiding and teaching all the while. David said, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble, Lord, and all the naysayers are saying, you're not going to help me. But there is a word there in verse 3, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Now, why did he say that? And by the way, he did so by a pen of inspiration. Why did he say, thou art a shield to me? What does a shield do? It protects you. You put up a shield to stop the thing. For in modern day, it's wearing a bulletproof vest. Think of it that way. The Lord is my bulletproof vest. He put up the shield, and he acted as a shield. Those enemies were throwing darts at David. They were trying to shake his faith in his Lord. But he said, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and then this, and the lifter up of mine head. What do you do when you get into trouble? You put your head down. You get discouraged. Maybe you go into depression and you got your head down and you don't know how you're going to get out of it, but who comes along and lifts up your head? Our precious Lord. And then he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice and he heard me out of his holy hill. You know, sometimes it seems that God's so far away. He's up in his holy hill and I'm down here. But you know what he does? He hears his saints. And then there's that beautiful Hebrew word, Selah. Meditate on that. In the night or in the day, meditate on that. Selah in the Psalms is an instruction for you and for me that when you're in trouble or you're in difficulty or when you need the Lord's help, meditate on those verses for help. And it will come. And what was he able to do? It says, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Look at Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me. And by the way, that's the same word that was translated loving kindness in chapter 42 and verse 8. Here it's translated mercy. It's the same word. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart. Upon your, what? Bed. And be still. Be still. And what's the word that follows that? Selah. This is a psalm for meditation. He goes on, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know, much of the fears that we have are never realized. I remember many, many years ago when I was at Bob Jones University, I got a care package from Mom and Dad, and inside there was a newspaper article that they sent to me about a tragedy that took place in Pensacola. It involved a family who was very concerned about the crime in their neighborhood in Brownsville, And so they put security bars on their house. Tragedy struck when they had an electrical heating element flip over in the middle of the night, set on fire, bed sheets in their children's bedroom. Every one of the family members died. And the reason that they died was because the man of the house had locked on the inside all of the security bars to protect them from somebody getting in the house. But what he did was doom his family not to be able to leave the house when a fire struck. Now, folks, you know, there are a lot of fears in this world. But who gives safety and security to his children? This psalm says, "Only thou, Lord, makest me dwell in safety." You better be resting in the Lord, Christian. You better be careful. You can start lining up all the things that you're going to trust in. Now, I'm glad that we have the Second Amendment. I'm a firm believer in that. But you know, guns misfire. But God never does. Do I hear an amen? Yeah. I heard about one recently. Someone that had their house broken into, and they were had tried to get the magazine inside their Glock, and they went to fire, and it misfired. And the person that broke into their house knocked them out cold. When they woke up, the house had been robbed, and all the measures that had been in place. The guy had gotten past a security system and a weapon. Those things are man-made things. They break, they fail. But there's one who is greater than all those things, and you better be trusting in Him. Who is that? It's the precious Lord. It's the precious Lord. You better make Him your stay. You better make Him your comfort. Let's move on. I want to share another one here. We've got a little bit of time left here. Look with me, please, at Psalm 63. This is another passage of Scripture that's very precious. I want to read the first 8 verses of Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. What does that mean? It means I'll go to You first rather than second. Early, in the beginning, I will go to Thee. You know, it's an amazing thing how we will do so many different things to start with, and then whenever those all fail, we say, "All right, Lord, I guess I'll turn to You. What should we have done first?" Early will I seek Thee. Don't make that mistake, Christian, of making the Lord the last one you go to. Make Him the first one that you go to. That's so important. That's such an important lesson that the Psalms bring to us. That when it comes to the things that trouble us in this world, the first one that a Christian goes to, a believer goes to, is God Almighty. Because He's the only one that can help. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness, there's that word again, hesed, mercy, is better than life. My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Notice that verse of Scripture in verse 6. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. In the watches is the actual Hebrew, and it refers to the night time. Remember that the Israelites divided time into watches. The Romans did this as well. 3-hour periods. All right, were the watches. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And it had different numbers for each of those watches. And it was a reminder that in the nighttime, in those days, they didn't have security systems. They didn't have electronics that would surveil and alert you in the middle of the night if someone was trying to do you harm. All they had was the Lord to trust in. And said, "Oh Lord, I'm so glad that I have you." What a reminder in the nighttime that you have a God that never sleeps. You know, you think of the gods, small g, of this world. You think of Buddha. You know, I do not understand people who will crawl on their knees to the top of a Buddhist shrine to stare at a fat man's image and think that doing that's going to bring comfort to their lives. They do that, they go down the stairs, their knees are bloodied by their thing to a God made of stone. Aren't you thankful that we have a living God who never sleeps? That when you're awake at night and you can't sleep, He's awake too. He's there so you can talk to Him. Oh, there have been many, many times when the kids were little, there were times when one of them would come into the room and they would be coughing. Or my wife is, I don't need a security system because my wife can hear a bug crawling across the carpet in the other room. And she'll punch me. "Hey, did you hear that?" "I didn't hear that. But now that I'm awake, I will get up and I will go check on that." All right? And usually it's the cat leaving one bedroom and going to another, and she'll run into the door and knock it open, and then she'll run over there to somebody else's bedroom. And so it was the cat that got things up. And then I go back and I stare at the ceiling. You know, what else can happen? We had a knock at our door back about 20 years ago. And so I got up. Again, my wife, I didn't hear it to start with, but my wife, "Did you hear that? Somebody's at the door." Okay. And she wasn't jumping up to go get it. So I got up, and I'm trying to see and everything, and I go up to the door. And you know how you try to hide yourself? You know, "Yes," from behind the door. "Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department, we need to talk to you." That's never good in the middle of the night. So I turned on the porch light and came out and said, "Well, y'all having a good time here at this house?" And I said, "I don't know what you mean. You just woke me up." And all of a sudden, another deputy walked up and said, "Wrong house." "Sorry, Mr. Brainerd. We got the wrong house, sir. Somebody called in and said that there was a large party going on." And I said, "Well, I can tell you right now, there's nothing going on at this house." I said, "The cat's the only one that's up besides myself." Cat was sitting down there at my feet. And I just closed the door. Now, my heart, I've got sheriff's deputies at my door. But the Lord sustained. The Lord took care of us at night. Listen, folks, no matter when you're awake or when you are asleep, you have a God who is on your side, if you're His child. I could take you to several other Psalms, Psalm 72. I could take you to Psalm 118. I could take you to several other different ones that are such a blessing and a comfort to the child of God. But you got to get familiar with them. You got to memorize them. So when those sleepless nights come, or maybe when you go to sleep really well, that's what happens to me sometimes. I'll fall asleep and then I'll wake up in the middle of the night and it's hard to get back to sleep. It's the verses of Scripture that you've memorized that come to mind. It's the songs, like the one that Pastor Watt and I sang this morning. Deep down in my heart, yeah, I can sing in the night, just like Paul and Silas. They couldn't sleep that night. By the way, he refers to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He called it watchings, sleeplessness. There were many times in his ministry when his back was so bloodied by the beatings that he endured and the awkward position that he was put in and the stocks. They couldn't sleep, but they could sing. Why? Because the Lord was with them. And God just shook the earth in response to their songs. And God released them and let them go. And by the way, the jailer and his family were saved that night because they heard the gospel in the song. Folks, you better fill your heart and mind with the Word. There's going to come a day you're going to need it. And if you filled it up with the cotton candy and bubble gum of this world, you're not going to have anything to cling to. And all you're going to have is a broken heart and a wretched spirit because you haven't filled it with the Word of God. Oh, the versatility of the Psalms. We're going to look at some other themes from the Psalms because they're so precious, folks. They're precious. And what do you do with precious things? You hold them close. Amen? You hold them close. You don't keep them at arm's length. You hold them close because they're precious. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word tonight. It's so precious, so wonderful. I pray, dear Lord, that we might be a people of the book, not only in the daytime, but also at night, when there's trouble, when there's trial, when there's sickness, when there's sleeplessness. Lord, may we know the precious truth that can bring comfort in the night, can lift our heads and cause us to be able to look to Thee and rest our souls. Lord, that's the precious nature of Your Word, and especially the Psalms. And I pray, dear Father, that You would work in such a way that You would cause us not to run to the easy things, but Lord, help us to meditate upon Thee. Oh, there's much grace to be had, much mercy to be delivered in the night season when we trust in Thee. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.